health, diet, fitness, lifestyle. You're listening to It's Your Health Radio. And here's your host, Lisa Davis.
Hello and welcome back to It's Your Health. I've been having such a great time with Dr. Julie. She's an integrative physician. She's a health expert from San Jose, California, where I grew up. You can see her on KRON 4 Days with Zara as the in-house doctor. She's written tons of great articles. She's been all over the media. And she is brilliant and beautiful. And welcome back to the show, Dr. Julie.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming back. Now, today we're going to talk about preservatives that you should watch out for if you have allergies or asthma. And just to throw my two cents in, seems like most people should avoid the preservatives, just all the time.
Yeah. I am in your camp on that one.
All right. So tell us about that.
So, you know, it's interesting because they're just, you know, a lot of times people are saying, well, you know, if it really is that bad, why doesn't FDA just ban it? And the reason is because FDA has to take a cautious middle stance in the sense that they can't put bans on things if, per se, the clinical studies aren't definitive. Mm. And so they strike a fine line in trying to stay neutral as much as possible in the sense that, you know, when they did those studies and they did that the studies came out and they took a look at whether people definitively would have issues and ADHD, the attention deficit hyperactivity disorder issues with dyes, et cetera. There just wasn't enough solid, what they call gold standard study results that would push them towards making such a strict stance as to say to ban foods altogether with dye, like for them to have no dyes. But having said that, I do think it's important for listeners to really understand what is out there as far as studies show when it comes to dyes and preservatives. You know, there are certain people where if, you know, you don't want to live as stringent as to have no preservatives in any of your foods or dyes, you know, is there evidence that shows that you definitively will have negative outcomes any more than just our basic exposure to anything in this environment nowadays with all the electromagnetic waves, et cetera, and so and hormones in our meats, et cetera. So it's not. But having said that, people should be aware that there are indications that things like sulfites, the FDNC yellow number 5, the tartrazines found in like hot dogs, candy, ice cream, ketchup, the kind of NutraSweet stuff, all of these potentially can worsen people with food allergies, skin allergies, tendency towards hives and rashes, asthma, seasonal allergies, et cetera. And, you know, people who sometimes have, like, chronic headaches, it's not just, like, the nitrites and nitrates. It could be the preservatives, MSG, of course, and even the BHTs and BHAs found in a lot of foods and the benzoates and stuff. You know, sometimes you can get chronic hives and skin reactions. So what I usually recommend for people, really, is that to, if you have conditions that are pro-inflammatory, whether it be like rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, asthma, seasonal allergies, skin hives, or tendency towards having hives and rashes frequently, easily, I would just say that on a general overall recommendation to avoid things aren't natural, preservatives, dyes, and also to stay away even from the topical stuff for like sunscreen and shampoo, stay away from parabens. And really try to live as clean, and again, big fan of Mother Nature, as close to Mother Nature as possible. Things that seem to be very close to how it originally came out of the earth, it tends to be less reactive for the body. And even then, unfortunately, nowadays, with all the chemicals in the waters and whatnot, even just our soil itself, Mother Nature's a little poison. So even things that are straight off the ground and off a tree sometimes can have issues with it. But, you know, we do the best we can because, you know, people with cancers, whether it be uterine cancer, breast cancer, they should be aware that pesticides act as what we call xenoestrogens or artificial estrogens and can have some hormonal effects. So just be very careful about eating as clean as possible, but there's only so much you can do. And I always caution patients not to go nuts with trying to live super clean in the sense that do the best you can because nowadays with everything that we're kind of immersed in, there's only so much you can do. So don't drive yourself crazy trying to live too clean because the stress of doing that also is not good for the body.
Yeah, that is true. Now, a few moments ago, Dr. Julie, you mentioned osteoarthritis. If we could talk about osteoarthritis versus rheumatoid arthritis, some differences, and then what can we can do food-wise, supplement-wise?
Sure. Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, there are osteoarthritis is kind of like a, what we in, you know, layman's terms might say the wear and tear arthritis in the joints, pain in the joints. Rheumatoid arthritis can happen as in people as young as, you know, really young kids in juvenile rheumatoid arthritis up to just regular rheumatoid arthritis that starts in the 20s. And so rheumatoid arthritis is much more of an autoimmune disease in the sense that our body attacks our joints and it actually erodes it. Having said that, there is a version called erosive osteoarthritis that isn't rheumatoid arthritis. And so I'm not going to get into all the nitty-gritty of what falls into what category because we doctors love to categorize. But I think the importance really is to focus on what it is will help, what it is that we can do ourselves that can help with osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. For people with rheumatoid arthritis, it is very, very, very important to eat very clean and to live very clean and to get the rest and sleep and to decrease stress overall if you can and to get regular sleep hours. The reason is because anything that causes dysregulation, stress, inflammation in the body will worsen the rheumatoid arthritis situation. And so I have a lot of rheumatoid arthritis patients who come in to see me, lupus patients, people with hives, allergies, et cetera. These are all inflammatory diseases. You know, they come in, and I recommend that they eat anti-inflammatory, get plenty of fluids and water, avoid preservatives and hormone foods. So they have, I recommend eating preservative-free, organic, hormone-free foods if they can. I put them on supplements that are helpful for inflammation. I'll go over that in a little bit. But and then making sure they get plenty of sleep and that they actually try to incorporate mild exercise daily to decrease stress levels and to help their body be efficient as machines. Mm-hmm. And also for them to make sure that they are making regular intervals throughout every single day to implement relaxation. Okay. Because I think stress creeps up on us, and a lot of times we don't recognize that our bodies are stressed until we're flaring with a rheumatoid arthritis or until we get sick. So it's important to preemptively incorporate relaxation time into every day because a lot of people will say, well, I don't have time to relax. And my response usually to that is, well, you really don't have time then to be sick.
Yeah.
And so it's important to put in relaxation throughout the day because, you know, you would never let your car drive cross country without ever stopping. So you really shouldn't have your body do that either.
You have the best analogies, Dr. Julie. They really are terrific. I mean, they really help because like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. I wouldn't, I think a lot of people take better cars, care of their cars, right?
Yes, they do.
And we need
And that's the thing is I really like to joke with my patients because they'll now call me like a car mechanic because my role is really to come in and tune up the car, which is your body.
Yeah.
And so you really have to start looking at your body as a machine, and you would never let any other machine that you own run, you know, 24/7 and not give it what it needs to function normally. Like you would never have your car run till it's completely done of transmission oil and engine oil and it's burning up, right? So you really shouldn't do that to your body either.
Yeah, that's true. All right, what are some of the supplements?
For inflammation, so for osteoarthritis, you know, glucosamine was seen in the study to be beneficial for people with mild, moderate osteoarthritis. Severe ones, you know, it was questionable. But it's funny because a lot of patients will come in and they'll say they use glucosamine as a prevention for osteoarthritis. It doesn't really work like that. And so you really only need to do the glucosamine once you have the arthritis, the osteoarthritis. Before that, what you really should do is just do preventative stuff like making sure that you're eating healthy, decreasing inflammation in the body, you're taking necessary breaks so that you're not wearing down your body, making sure your minerals and your amino acids, proteins, and your healthy fats and all that stuff are in place. So glucosamine, however, is important for people to recognize that if you are someone with cancer and you're going through some chemotherapy like anti-mitotic chemotherapy medications, you should clear the glucosamine with your oncologist first because it can actually counteract some of the activity in the chemotherapy. So, you know, a lot of people come in and they think like, well, as long as it's a supplement, safe, right? And that's not really the case. You really should start to treat supplements and herbs as medicine in the sense that not everyone needs a multivitamin, just like not everyone needs high blood pressure medications, and not everyone can take glucosamine safely, but most people can. But there are small populations of people who really should not be taking it. It would be counterproductive. And so And then for rheumatoid arthritis, you know, just the stuff I put them on usually are just anti-inflammatory, which actually can be great for most people with inflammatory issues or any health disease, really. Like, for example, I love putting people on curcumin with black pepper. Mm-hmm. Curcumin has anti-cancer properties, anti-inflammation, and curcumin is not very good at being absorbed in the gut, and so, but if you give it with black pepper, the absorption goes up tremendously. And so I always, for people who need systemic absorption of the turmeric or the curcumin, I have them take it with black pepper. But for patients who have inflammatory bowel disease, I'll have them take the turmeric or curcumin without black pepper, because you want it to stay within their intestinal tract, because that's where the inflammation is. So that's one. And then I'll have them take things like ginger, resveratrol, fish oil, replace a lot of the minerals and vitamins and amino acids that they need, because, again, there's inflammation if your body's running on empty. So we want to definitely tune up the car first and foremost. Then you kind of layer on the anti-inflammatory stuff. Probiotics are phenomenal because our intestinal tract is one of the largest immune systems just by sheer mileage. So if you irritate your gut, your whole body inflames. And so we like the gut as calm as possible. So if someone comes into my clinic and they say that they have a lot of GI issues, they have bloating, gassiness, discomfort, diarrhea, constipation, IBS, et cetera, gastritis, that's one of the first things I actually will try to tackle with them, because we got to calm the gut for us to calm the body.
Oh, wow. Now, I'm wondering about the curcumin with the black pepper. Is that something that you sell, or is that something that they make, or how do you give that?
So you could buy that. I mean, a lot of the supplement brands have a curcumin with black pepper.
Oh, okay.
That it's called, a lot of times it'll be called bioparin is the black pepper.
Okay.
So you can buy it, you know, at any of the health food stores. I usually, you know, there are people who say, well, I eat a lot of like turmeric and you know, is that enough? I would always say that turmeric is phenomenal in foods. You should use your spices because they are actually phenomenal for anti-inflammation. A lot of people don't know, like thyme, rosemary, cayenne peppers, curcumin, all that stuff are great for anti-inflammation. But the point is that some of the studies, the dosing that they use for specific treatment of certain diseases,
mm-hmm.
you'd have to be like swimming in it
to get to
that dosage. And so, you know, I think for general prevention, like let's say someone doesn't have any disease and they just want to prevent, I think getting it through the foods is great. You know, just frequently put turmeric in your foods, cinnamon, the unsweetened cinnamon is phenomenal for sugar, insulin sensitivity, glucose control. So, you know, putting cinnamon and things like that in foods, great. But if you have an actual disease that you're trying to treat, sometimes you're just going to need a little bit of additional help. And so you get it through that capsule dosage.
All right. Dr. Julie, you are so informative and delightful. If you can tell us how we can learn more about you.
I am on my website. You can find out information about my clinic and also my other interviews, and I have a lot of educational interviews on there and articles as well. And the website is www.makinghealthyeasy.com, and that's E-Z the letters, makinghealthyeasy.com.
Terrific. Thanks so much, Dr. Julie. Looking forward to tomorrow.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. For more information, go to itsyourhealthnetwork.com.